Nice to stand before you in the presence of God. As we, many of you know, if you've been attending last few weeks, we are continuing the series of street-level Christianity. I love that picture of Dave, Pastor Dave, who was standing here. You know, it looked like very mean, but it's so down to earth. Thank God. We praise you, Lord. So we are continuing the book of James, and we will go through the words that we are going to be covering today. James chapter 3, verse 13 onward. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. Who is wise? Change. Okay, now it's not changing. Okay, the next word. I'll go to the word. It's up there. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly. It's unspiritual, demonic. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every wild practice. The next slide. But the wisdom is from above, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Praise God. Can we bow our heads? Our Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Lord, we need your presence, Father God. We need your touch today, Father God. Prepare the hearts, Lord. You speak to us, Lord. Let your words come alive, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Here, James is asking, who is wise and understanding among you? Is being wise means having a lot of knowledge? What do you think? In the 1990s, internet became available to us. I remember 1993, I got first PC and hooking it up and trying to go on to the internet. And it was an exciting time. But did that make us any wiser? The world's biggest search engine, Google, launched in 1998. Did that make us any wiser? Having all the facts at our fingertips doesn't make that us any wiser. Are we any wiser than our parents? Or our grandparents? So when we talk about the wisest people among us, we think about some of the oldest and greatest university. Here I listed three of them. I don't know many of you know, these three universities started as Bible schools. It was started by clergymen. The first one, it's Harvard University. Was named after John Harvard because he gifted the land and the money. And the Massachusetts clergymen actually came together, started this university in 1636, the first university of this country. And when time went on, a few years later, people were finding out, people going to attending the university, finding out, you know, the thought of the Christ and everything is going away. So another group of clergymen started the Yale University. It was named Yale in 1701. It was started, but it was named Yale in 1718. And again, same thing happened years later. Yale went away from their initial focus. Then some of the other clergymen came and started the College of New Jersey, which was later renamed Princeton University. It was actually started not too far away from here in Elizabeth. Then it's moved to Newark, then it's moved to Princeton. It was named Princeton because it was located in Princeton. But any of these, let's look at very closely about the first one, the Harvard University. We can go to the next slide. The slide will show about, I was looking into the crest of the university. When it first started in 1936, in 1950, the head of the Harvards came together and they actually decided to come with a motto, and they came with the motto of in Christ Glorium, which means the glory of Christ. That was actually proposed in 1650, and later on in 1836, they actually began put together an emblem, a crest for the Harvard University. I wish I could have shown you the picture. It's on the next slide if it changes. There you go. And it says, the 1836, it says, Veritas Christo Ecclesiae, means truth for Christ and the church. But today, the crest, the Christ and the church disappeared. And if you can look at those arrows, 1836, they had two books that are open on the top and one is closed. That means human beings are fully not knowledgeable about everything, but today, they said, oh, we know everything. See, this is what goes on in the world. People in the world think they know everything. But it's, God says here, in the next slide that I wanted to show you a verse. It says from the 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish. Since God in his wisdom saw it that the world would never know him through the human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. There are so many people that Harvard graduates, Yale graduates, Princeton graduates, who have heard of the word of God from simple people like you and I and became saved. If you look at all over the world, you will see so many scores and scores of people have actually got saved. Wiser people, the world considered wiser people got saved through this foolish preaching. Christ crucified. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, there are, By this foolish preaching, 35% of the world population today are Christians, out of 7 billion. I know you might be thinking, oh, some of them are really not born again, but they know Christ. They know Christ. They at least heard the word Christ. They at least profess that in through their mouth, Christ is the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's where I get my gratification. Yes, somehow, somewhere, God will bring them. Fully. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look closely to this verse 13. Verse 13, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? I remember watching a video by the British comedian, Mr. Bean. He's standing up there and saying, you know, in that video, you know, lawyers and things that he's acting as a devil and says, go to this side. Murderers and deaths, so go with them. Today I say, who is wise among us? If you believe that you are wise, let's look at a little bit more closely. That word understanding, epistemon in Greek, that actual meaning of that is focuses on intellect and factual knowledge. The knowledge that we get at our fingertips. But wisdom, sophos, means practical real life and moral understanding. When you take the knowledge that we gain and when we apply the knowledge to our life. That is wisdom. Now, the factual knowledge is understanding tomato is a fruit. But wisdom is, don't use tomato in a fruit salad. Work, faith without works is dead, as James is talking about here. But knowledge without application is dead knowledge. There are so many people learn PhDs and double PhDs and masters and all kinds of degrees, and they get dead and buried. Yes, no common sense. I often think about when I work in a hospital, I see hundreds and hundreds of doctors, and I often tell to my friends, you know, yeah, they're so educated, but where is the common sense? So head knowledge is in heart knowledge. Applied knowledge is called wisdom. You know, you can learn about swimming by reading books and watching YouTube videos and everything. Unless and until you get into the water, you won't understand how swimming is all about. You will never learn swimming. I remember when I was a child back in India, about 5 or 6 years old, I used to go to the river banks with the bigger boys, and you know, and he asked me, do you want to learn swimming? I said, yeah, I do. You know what they did? Two of them standing there, picked up my hand, threw me into the water. And I'm like, I'm doing all a kind of thing, you know, because there is, eventually, he said, they watch and they, you know, if you think you're, if they thought you're drowning, they jump in, save you. So my fear went away. Today, I can go into the ocean. I remember when we rented a boat, you know, I had to jump into the 80 foot of water and I was swimming on the water in order to untie a rope. Praise God, hallelujah. Wisdom is knowledge in action. Head knowledge about Jesus will not lead you in a relationship with Christ. If you read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your understanding. How can we apply this instruction in our daily lives? The action is in all our ways to acknowledge God. How can you trust the Lord in your heart? How would you? By acknowledging Him. Acknowledge Him how? In every day, everything that you do, acknowledge God. When you get up in the morning, Lord, I thank you, you made me rise. When I'm taking one step, thank you, Lord, your leg, my leg is strong. Today we are easy, we stand up and we easy and praise and you know, give witnesses and everything to if somebody get cured of cancer, or somebody, a lame person, begin to walk. It's easy for us to stand up and praise. But are we praising God because we are breathing? Right. Are we praising God because we are walking? Amen. You know, when the people are in debt of millions of dollars, when God gives them the money to get them out of the debt, we praise our God. But are we praising God because you are not getting into the debt? Yes. We forget. We take things for granted. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise God. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. He will direct your path. When we begin to acknowledge Him each and every day of our life, He will direct our path. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's where it says, by good conduct, let Him show His work in the meekness of wisdom. What is good conduct? Doing what God wants us to do. Each and every day of our life. How can we do that? Know God. We can only come to know God through Jesus. Today, you know, it is as soon as some political leaders or some movie actors, somebody who's rich and famous, when they say God, 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 nobody has no problem. But as soon as they say Jesus, oh, everybody. I remember in 2000, during the campaign, everybody identify with George W. Bush. No problem. He's a fallen man. He has driven with drunk driving. He smoked marijuana or whatever, all of that thing. But in August, in July of that year, he said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yeah. Oh. Oh, the entire media changed from next day onward. If you don't believe me, go look in the internet. Search into it. You'll see the whole country, the media was focusing on him changed, shifted. As soon as we profess the name Jesus, because now every knee shall bow, every tongue come to that Jesus is the Lord. Through Jesus, we get saved.
That's right.
It's easy to say God, but to saying the name of Jesus is where the salvation is. Praise God. Hallelujah. Between Jesus and James, and Thomas. Praise God. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. That Jesus is saying here, and what is the good conduct? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Is it enough for us? Jesus said to him, and Jesus saying, verse 10, I do not believe. Do you not believe that Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Father who doubts me does his work.
Amen.
And read the bottom words. Whoever believes in me also will do the works that I do. If you confess Jesus, if you accept him as Lord and Savior, and Jesus is living in you. I don't know many Christians understand the reason that Jesus came into the world so is that he died on the cross to bring Holy Spirit into this world. When the Holy Spirit come into you, and Jesus said, I and the Father will come and be abode with you. He will live in you.
Yes.
You're not only getting Holy Spirit, you're getting Jesus and you're getting the Father.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Just accepting, Lord Jesus, you are my Savior.
Yes.
You're getting all. Praise God. Hallelujah. If the God is with you, if the God is for you, what does it matter if the entire world is against you? If God is for you, who can stand against us? Praise God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter the entire Cran or the Clark or the Cranford or the surrounding neighborhood, all are against us. God is with us. I often think and say, even if 7 billion people don't stand with me, as long as I'm on the side of God and God is with me, I don't care. I'm in the majority. I'm not a minority. Don't tell me that I'm a minority. God is in me, therefore I'm in the majority. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. What is the good content? Colossians verse 9 says, so we do not have to stop praying for you since. Praise God. Hallelujah. The complete knowledge. Here Paul is praying complete knowledge of his will and give the spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is the prayer that we should be praying for ourselves and for others.
Amen.
To get the complete knowledge of his will. Then the way you live is the works. It's the works. If you have faith and you don't show your faith in works, your faith is dead. Not just believe that Jesus is Lord. Step out in faith. Go to the connect groups. Yesterday we had awesome time. I was sitting there saying, this is one of the most joyous time I had in weeks. We were sitting and laughing about many things. They're studying this. And we often wonder, does God have a sense of humor? Oh, he does. Sometimes he throw nuggets. Oh, my brothers, my children are dwelling together. And let me see what they're talking about. They're talking about something. Let me put this nugget in front of them. Let's see what they. And, oh my God, we get so rejoiced. Some of this thing, I sat there and I came through my mouth and I'm sitting there, where did that came from? You wouldn't believe when you come together, have that relationship, have that time, when you love each other, when you sit together, you know what? God began to speak through you. You think God don't speak through? Yes, God uses your tongue. When Paul was going into the Jerusalem, he was going into the Roman, and when he said, oh, what am I going to say to the emperors and king? And the Holy Spirit says, don't worry. Just go there. Open your mouth. And I'll fill your mouth with words.
Amen.
Today I came here and the way that I wanted the PowerPoint and things worked, and I'm standing there and praying, Lord, you have to fill my word, my mouth with words. I'm just trusting in you, Lord. You make it happen. Praise God, hallelujah. And here says that, the next word says, but you have bitterly jealous and foolish ambition in your heart. Don't cover up that truth with boasting and lying. The state of your heart is bitter jealousy. So when you have bitter jealousy, these two things you will have. No gratitude, no love. When you're bitter jealous, you know, if you watch like 7 o'clock shows on network TV, there are so many shows there about rich and famous people. And they show, they project out most of the news these days, what kind of miserable situation they're going through. And people, we as Americans love to feed on that. Why? Because now we all of a sudden, we feel like they're coming from their highest status to our level. They're like human beings too. But the thing is, a lot of time, when people become rich and famous, you know, yeah, I deserve this. My talent. Came to understand long ago, God has invested his talent in you and you and you. How are you going to use that? He has invested part of your talent, his talents into you. We know the parable very well. And how are you going to? Are you going to bury that talent? Each and everyone sitting here has talents.
That's right.
Everyone. Don't step backwards. When Pastor Dave is standing here, if you want to be involved in the group, you know what? You all have talent. Some of the people have amazing talents here. A close friend of mine died two, three weeks ago. He had an amazing talent. He never spoke in front of the church, never did. But he has an amazing talent. Even when he was pumping gas, he can go strike up a conversation. He used to take every week two or three people, new people, to the church. And he used to tell me, I take them, and they take him to the door, introduce him to the pastor. Now my job is over. Praise God, hallelujah. There is some of you sitting here, amazing talent that you can strike up a conversation with anyone. We have so many kind of different gifts that God has invested in. Use it. And when you get up in the morning, have the gratitude. Lord, you raise me up, therefore I praise you. Have that gratitude. When you have bitter jealousy, you're only thinking about that jealousy part of your thing. Oh, I don't have this. I don't have this. But you're not being thankful of the things that you have. And since that bitter jealousy is there, you're not loving the other person. So you're violating the commandment of Jesus. Praise God. Selfish ambition, no serving, no helping, and no humility. Ephesians 4, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away. I used to be a very, very angry person. Yesterday I shared some of the stories and people couldn't, what? I'm not going to take time to share any of that. Incredibly angry person. Am I still angry? Yes, it comes up. You can ask my wife. I'm not standing here and say it. Or some of my close friends. But I don't have the anger that I used to have 20 years ago. God is teaching me to get rid of it. Put away. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. God in Christ forgave you. Remember that. He went on the cross. Instead of us, he put himself there. Praise God. Hallelujah. James 3 says, for jealousy and selfishness is not God kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. Earthly means worldly. Wisdom of this, wisdom by the world standards. The world wisdom is a collection of many people's opinions. You know, if you go back and study science, there was a time they thought Earth was flat. You know what the Portuguese princess told Columbus when he was leaving there? He went to say goodbye to her. I'm going to a land that I'm going to find a faster route to India. Does anybody know that he was trying to find a faster route to India? Because there were some spices and things that was very valuable. They refused to bring it back. And that princess told him, you know, be careful. Don't sail into the edge of the world and fall off. It's a joke to us at that time. People thought earth was flat. But in Isaiah it says, the sphere. God is sitting on the sphere of the earth. Some translation says circle. So unspiritual means sensual, appealing to senses and emotion, and demonic, originated from influence of Satan. Four, and the last word, the six, verse 16 says, wherever there is jealousy, selfish, unbridled, you will find every kind of disorder and evil of every kind. Disorder is sickness and diseases. Whenever there is disorder, there is sickness and diseases comes into your body. I can stand here and talk about sickness and disease and how it comes for a whole day. And there is evil, mental problem, malice, murder. Praise God, hallelujah. And here, the wisdom from above is pure, also peace, loving, gentle at all times. You know, if you compare that, I listed 9 things from those 2 verses. Isn't that the fruit of the Spirit? Exactly the same thing. When the wisdom of God, when the Holy Spirit comes into you, and when you actually begin to listen to the Holy Spirit, what comes out of the fruit comes out of you is same, the fruit of the Spirit. It's same 9 fruit or qualities of fruit. Praise God. Hallelujah. And says, how can we get this wisdom? Proverbs 9:10, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Yeah. When I read King Solomon, how did he get wisdom? We know he's the wisest man ever lived. Verse 3 says, nobody talks about this. Solomon loved Lord, walking in the statutes of David and his father, and only he sacrificed and made offerings in high places. And when he went to Gibeon, the sacrifice is there. God came to him and I said, ask. See, because he loved the Lord, because he feared God, because he was worshiping God, and God is here asking. He didn't ask anything to God. God is came down to ask him, says, what should I give to you? Praise God. Hallelujah. Godly wisdom is given by God. And James 1:5 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask God. And God gives generously. Proverbs 2:6 says, for Lord give wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. And I just want to conclude this by saying this. The Sermon on the Mount. Everyone who bears these words of mine and does them. Yeah. That's the most important thing there. Not just getting to know the word of Jesus. But we got to begin to do them. Doing his word, applying his word every day in our life is what gives us the wisdom. It is when the rain falls, what happens? He's comparing a person who built a house on a rock. And the rain fell, when the problems came, they were able to. He didn't lose the house. But he who does not do what he says, it's a man like making a house on a sand. It's a sand castle. We don't want sand castle. I invite the band to come. We don't want to build sand castles. We don't want to build sand dunes. We want to build in the wisdom of God. We want to work according to what God tells us. We don't want to put our own mindset in there. We don't want to find Google stuff and put it in there. It is the opinion of this world. Begin to listen to God. Begin to listen to God. God talks to you if you begin to listen. Sometimes I say, Lord, why aren't you saying anything? And I don't hear anything. But later on, I opened my eyes, looked there, and I see God is speaking to me through the nature that he has made. God put thoughts into our minds, into our hearts. God is speaking to you. When you come here, the last song, Paulette was singing here, he said, that is for me. God is speaking through one word. Last week, when Vince was preaching, or the week before, when Dave was preaching, God is speaking to me. When you connect with the person here, God is speaking to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let us not build sandcastles. Let us build on the rock. Praise God, and God bless you. Amen.